from the incident?
So one of the trickiest questions, I think, is the situation where most companies will have, and probably all large companies now will have, some form of protection of personal information, protection of company information training, about what to do and what not to do with all of the things that you're entrusted with. So in this incident, let's say that it was something that probably violated company procedures. At what point in time would you start thinking about consequences for the individual who violated company policies and procedures in this regard?
I think that's something I'm going to consider after the fact, after it's been handled. The last thing I want to do is alienate the one person who might be able to help me with any personal knowledge of anything about that machine or the information on that machine. It depends on if it was something intentional, if it was what the violation was, and you assess that after the fact. But the immediate action that needs to be taken is something to remedy the potential breach.
Yeah, Adam's absolutely right. This is a difficult area, right? Because what ends up happening is that if you take out your ire on somebody who caused the situation in the first place, you have to make sure that those consequences are equally applicable across the board, that anybody who violates those policies are held accountable in the same way. And it seems very unlikely that you'll terminate your CEO for clicking on a phishing email, just like the lowest level person actually clicked on that same phishing email. Michael, you had something to add?
You know, I'm actually hoping that that particular problem is going to tune itself out over the next couple of years. I know there's a technological solution that we at the DOJ have, which is, you know, anytime that there's a USB drive or a flash drive inserted into one of our computers, we're automatically prompted to encrypt it. And if we don't encrypt it, we can't write to it, which means that any of our confidential DOJ stuff that I have on my computer that I want to save to the flash drive, the choices are one of two. Either I can save it because the drive is encrypted, or it's not going to be encrypted, in which case I can't save it. So hopefully that particular problem will be tuned out in the future.
So my reaction to that initially is that I would hope so too, but my experience is that what people will do is what people actually do, which is find a way to circumvent that issue and do what they want to do in a more convenient fashion. I'll give you an easy example of that. So when you try and pull up Gmail or if you're 600 years old, Netscape, and try and access your personal email on Jones Day's computer systems, you'll get a box that blocks your ability to do so, saying personal email not allowed, which then causes people to then send information back and forth from their personal email account to their work email account, or just use their work email account for personal communication since your desk so often. And so all of these policies that people do in order to, enact something to prevent some activity from occurring can have that corollary action of actually incentivizing other, more difficult behavior to correct. So I think you're right about, sort of the difficulty between hopefully one element of behavior will be fixed, but another might not be. So, Scott, let's say that you've got a newspaper article, you read about either a lawsuit or you read about some kind of a disclosure of a breach. What's the commission going to do with that information?
Turn it
away, right? I mean, because it's in the media, you don't need to worry about that.
Well, I mean, my first question, and it wouldn't be necessarily to the entity, it would just be within the commission to understand whether or not there has been anything that has been self-reported from counsel, or whether it be in-house counsel or from outside counsel. It's not uncommon, and particularly since the guidance came out in February of 2018, for us to actually get volunteer disclosure from in-house and outside counsel about breaches. So that would be the first thing that I would probably want to know. And then after running those traps, I would probably follow the same steps that we talked about earlier when we were talking about the several public companies, which is to understand what this company in particular has disclosed about its cybersecurity risks, and then also try to understand exactly the nature of the breach itself.
So are you, at the commission level, are you working on that case in the bastion of reasonableness that is the Fort Worth Regional Office, or are you doing it in the cyber unit, which is fraught with peril?
Well, since I straddle both of those, I'm not exactly sure how to answer that. But I will say both. Obviously, within the Fort Worth Regional Office, we have our cases that we cover within our region. But across the Division of Enforcement at all the regional offices and the Home Office, we have individual personnel who are assigned to the cyber unit. So we are able to, within our systems, be able to get that information not only within the unit but also just across the division at each of the offices and in the home office.
So you mentioned something. You would check first to see whether anybody had self-reported. And so that brings us to the one other one, which is this idea of self-reporting. That are you going to treat that case differently if it originates from a self-report than you would if you read it in the newspaper?
It depends.
Facts and circumstances?
Yes.
Yes.
Look, what I'll say here, and just in terms of the issue of self-reporting, is that as it relates to the SEC, I think that there are a number of factors that weigh in favor of self-reporting. The first one, and I believe Michael touched on this earlier, but just relates to the fact that there are a lot of regulators in this space, particularly at the state level and from an FTC level. And I know just within the state of Texas that the law, as I understand it, is that there's a mandatory disclosure depending on the nature of the breach and if certain information is at issue. So the getting out in front of it typically is the right response. Prompt, thoughtful disclosure, I think, is a pretty good default in this area.